Hello, hello,
and welcome to Raf and Mail's Review the World. What's this podcast about?
Reviewing the world.
Yes.
In general.
In general, and also in very, very specific terms.
The minutest of detail.
Yeah.
Where we go.
But also, on a very macro scale, we could review very complicated things which are themselves made up of many minute details, like, you know, capitalism.
We review the machine and the cogs.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a very good way of thinking about it. As we are recording this, it is like 11:30 in the morning. We're having a beer. It's warm.
It's very warm.
What have you been doing to beat the heat?
Wearing less clothes.
That's a very good very good tactic. I spent a lot of yesterday just wearing some pyjama shorts and nothing else.
Oof.
It was very
filth.
Frighteningly sexual attractive to the point where nobody could stand to be within about 100 metres of me.
Oh, yeah. I was saying I need to get my feet better equipped to wearing flip-flops again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's not going well.
My top tip for beating the heat... Just wait like a couple of days and it'll just start raining.
True.
And then God beats the heat for you. So there you go, that's some...
Yeah, just stay indoors till that October time.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
Don't even worry about that, just stay indoors till Monday.
Yeah, that's true.
Or in fact, probably a little bit later today when we're heading to a barbecue. And it'll... In fact, that's the top tip for beating the heat, right? Organise a barbecue.
Yes.
And then you're guaranteed to have rain and wind and cold come out in force and just cool everything right down.
Is this one of your new segments, Raffy's Top Tips?
Raffy's Top Tips, yeah. I've actually got two new segments to introduce.
Every week we have to have a new segment and we have to kill off two that were terrible. Yeah,
you have to kill your darlings. I think we should probably get straight into the reviews.
We should.
Because we've got some crackers this week. So let's have a bit of music and then we'll have a review. Some music. Now it's time for a review. You are going first this week, and what is it you would like to review?
Getting back on the old bandwagon.
Yeah.
Of things Mails has got problems with. We had a little bit of a lull.
Yeah.
But you tried
to go positive. I tried to go negative, and it didn't really suit either of us.
No, I tried to provoke thought, which is something I should never really try and do.
I tried to give a scathingly critical review, and I still managed to end up giving a 6 out of 10.
Yeah. So, this week, we're going for Noel Edmonds.
I'm very excited to talk about Noel Edmonds. I feel like we've got a lot of good material to mine from this particular scene.
So, yeah, if you don't know who Noel Edmonds is...
You're probably the one person who's listening to this podcast from like Somalia.
Yeah, sorry, but this one's not for you.
But you know what? Maybe you'll learn something. Maybe you'll learn something about quite a confusing and upsetting British phenomena.
Yeah, he's a television presenter that's been around forever. For as long as I can remember.
Yeah, certainly as long as I can remember. I think he might have even made his start on radio back in the 70s?
Before there was TV. So he basically grew with the media.
I mean, I would imagine him, if he hadn't had a career in professional broadcasting, just being one of those guys that shouts at people on a bus about all his weird ideas.
Yeah, he does look super looks crazy.
Yeah.
Like, potentially, I could imagine him being very homeless.
Yeah, and like really intense. Like the kind of person who comes up to you at a pub, asks to borrow a lighter, and then just talks to you, just won't leave.
Yes.
Just won't ever get the hint.
Hears you talking about a topic and just joins in and looks at you manically in the eye as he talks about these things.
Yeah. I used to live with a person who was a bit like Noel Edmonds. Well, when I was in halls in the first year of university, he was in a different flat. And we called him Intense Dave. And that later became changed to Inappropriate Dave after he made some inappropriate moves on women in the same block. And eventually loads of people just moved out of the block because he was like terrible. And that is exactly what I could imagine Noel Edmonds being like in the first year of university.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. So, right, getting into it. Noel Edmonds, best known, Noel's House Party.
Yeah, got to be House Party. There's probably a generational shift in there somewhere where some people would say Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we're probably at the lower age range where you hear Noel Edmonds, you go Noel's House Party. I think if you were 5 years younger than us, you'd say Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. If you were say you were born in the 2000s or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, what do they call the ones who are younger than millennials? Children.
Idiots.
Actually, just literally children.
So, yeah, Noel's House Party is probably my fondest memory. I liked watching Noel's House Party. I didn't like what went on in Noel's House Party. Like,
I watched a lot of Noel's House Party. I don't know if I liked it or not.
No, I don't think I did. I think it was always quite upsetting. It was just basically him bullying people.
Yeah, that was literally.
Like, in this big fake house that I think had an audience.
Yeah, there was an audience in the house, and the house was in the town of Crinkly Bottom, which is a very funny joke. Comes from that strand of British humour. That kind of smug early 90s British humour where the word bottom is incredibly funny.
Yeah, because like I could imagine Crinkly Bottom is some form of weird sex act as well.
Yeah.
Like that you don't know about and he sort of snuck that in because that's like his ultimate fetish.
Yeah, it's like there's the Superman, there's the...
What?
You know, that's Soulja Boy song.
All right, no, but
yeah, you don't want to know. There's all those kind
of
things.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. that's what we know best for. Little side review, a review within a review.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Mr. Blobby?
Well, we were going to get to that later, but I'm guessing we'll do it now.
Yeah.
I hate Mr. Blobby.
Really?
He's awful.
I like Mr. Blobby a lot more than I like Noel Edmonds, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I love Mr. Blobby.
Because Mr. Blobby was... It was just... That was a very deeply troubling...
Yeah.
Imagine that happened. That's... My problem is always that it goes, if that happened to me...
Yeah.
That's how I think about everything.
Well, if Mr. Blobby turned up and, like, started pranking you...
Yeah, I'd just kill myself. Because I'd just be like, what the hell is this awful thing that's just really, like...
That's just appears to terrorize me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the marshmallow Stay Puft Man from Ghostbusters. Just this unstoppable force that turns up to wreck your shit.
But instead, it just keeps saying its name at you.
Yeah. I mean, I quite like... I don't love, but I've got a certain amount of respect for Mr. Blobby. In the same way I do for, like, the Rabbids or the Minions. Which I know are unpopular. But they kind of, to me, embodied a spirit of, like, anarchic chaos where, like, they can't be controlled, they can't be held down, they're just going to come and, like, say their own name and fuck up your life.
Yeah, it's sort of...
Or gremlins, even.
It's a really bad advertisement for anarchy, though.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of, like... No, nothing positive ever came from it. There was never like,
what about
it's a new day, this is new beginnings. No, it's just him smashing up your office.
Like, have you never been sitting at a job you hate and just wished like a man in a giant costume would just come in and fucking break your desk and chuck your computer out the window?
Yeah, but then I'd feel sorry for like Sue, who sat next to me, who's like, she needs this job.
Yeah.
You know, she's got two kids at home.
Yeah, I mean, in the moment, there would be a joy to it, like smashing a plate on the floor. But then, if you're the one who has to deal with sweeping it up and not having any plates left.
Yeah, I bet Mr. Blobby's not there lending a hand. You know, he just walks in. He's like, he literally is a hurricane.
Yeah.
Just comes in, smashes everything up,
laughs
in your face about it happening, like, watch all this ruin, and then he's like, blah, 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 blah. Don't even say bye.
Yeah, and then he's just sunk onto the next house. Like,
What if it's... what do you reckon if Mr. Bobby is actually somebody trapped within... trying to escape, and all they can say is Blobby.
Yeah.
They can't understand, and it's just their intense they're agony.
They're screaming inside, and it's just coming out as Blobby, Blobby, Blobby.
And they're just like, why will no one help me?
Yeah.
And they're just smashing things up because they get so mad at people because going, you're not helping.
Yeah.
Look at this awful disease that's covered my body. I've gone twice the size, and I'm pink and yellow.
I was like you once. I was a man.
I can't blink. I can't shut my eyes. They just burn.
Yeah, I can't blink, but I can feel.
Yeah. All it is just pain.
I think that is adds a layer to the whole Mr. Blobby mythos that really brings the character to life.
It wouldn't put it past me.
Also, Noel Edmonds definitely did it. Definitely, like, it was just a runner on the programme who crossed Noel Edmonds, so Noel Edmonds cursed them with his witchcraft and turned them into the screaming Blobby.
Yeah, or he injected them with something that turned them like, oh, you're not very good assistant anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's just, he runs them. They're not allowed to sleep or eat until they just collapse, and then he creates a new Blobby.
If you consumed some of the gunge, that's what it does to you. And there's actually hundreds of Mr. Blobbies, but their lifespan's only about an hour and a half.
Yeah, like
and
all the diaries.
So he's just got constantly feeding people so we can churn them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there a little Mr. Blobby, or am I misremembering
that?
There
probably was something awful.
It was like a child one.
Oh.
Maybe in the music video.
God, that'd be... Oh, God, there was the song!
Yeah. The Christmas God. Number one hit song.
God, that's going to be on the podcast, isn't it?
Only if there's a dubstep remix of
it. All right. Or a soca.
All right, so I'm guessing you're not that hot on Mr. Blobby, but that's, you know, that's a peripheral thing to Noel Edmonds. I mean, Noel Edmonds spawned Mr. Blobby, as we've described, unleashed a plague of Blobbies upon the world.
Yeah, it's...
So that's a mark in the red for Noel Edmonds, I guess.
Yeah, so there was that. I mean, Noel House Party didn't really... It was a Saturday night staple because
it was.
There wasn't anything. You'd watch that, you'd watch The Lottery.
Yeah. But I mean, like...
And then my mum would watch Casualty or something.
You can watch... Nowadays, you watch Anton Deck doing whatever Saturday night programme they're doing. It's not for me.
No.
I don't typically watch those programs, but I quite like Ant and Dec. They don't come across as fucking creepy weirdos.
Yeah, yes. Very true.
It's possible to fulfill, or like Harry Hill or someone. You can do tea time entertainment on a Saturday night on ITV, or House Party might have been in BBC. Anyway,
House Party was BBC,
BBC One, ITV One, whatever, mass market stuff, and not be like a horrible, awful bully.
Yes.
Who just does nasty, weird things and comes across as a smug arsehole the whole time.
Yeah. And so, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So, after House Party, he sort of...
I think he drifted for a little bit.
He drifted on that high that he had.
Well, I think the tides changed, didn't they? There was a time, like, late 80s, early 90s, where his, like, shtick was all the rage. People were eating it up. And then people, mid-90s, late-90s, started getting a bit ironic, started getting a bit wise, and they were like, this is cheesy bullshit.
He was pushed aside. He was like a forgotten...
Yeah.
He was an old-timey man in a new world.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, there was no place for him.
Yeah, no country for old Noel Edmonds.
Fucking Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, until those Dutch bastards came and reinvigorated that particular corpse.
This is when... I think what happens is when you contain Noel Edmonds and you go like, right, you can't start like throwing shit at people. You can't like be just like teabagging people on TV.
Yeah,
basically.
You can't get people fired from their jobs.
You've got to present this TV show
and
you can't, these boxers, this whole box thing is random.
Yeah,
you can't control it. And what does he try and do? He fucking tries and controls it. And thinks he knows what he's like.
Yeah, with his mind.
You can't contain me. These mystery boxers are now I own them. Like, he's like, he doesn't own the TV show. He doesn't own the format. So what does he do? He goes fucking nuts.
I think he ended up owning some portion of the format.
Of course he did. Because he started writing bollocks on his arm.
Yeah, well, this is what I heard was... The whole reason he got Deal or No Deal is because he was going through his Gary Barlow phase of like, I was big in the 90s, but nobody likes me anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to, you know, George, it was like him, George Michael, Gary Barlow, eating kebabs, smoking weed, getting a bit chubby and, you know, falling out of the public eye. And then What Noel Edmonds, he discovered that whole writing shit on your arm secret stuff.
What's that star? Something to do with stars, isn't it?
Where you ask the universe for things. And he basically asked for a job again. And then he got a deal on O'Deal job.
I didn't know the universe was
that,
firstly...
That cruel.
Yeah. I didn't realise it was trying to help me out. And I didn't realise the method for it to help me out was by looking at my arm and seeing what was going on my arm. I mean... There's a lot of people with, like, football tattoos who don't own West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, and, like,
how have you been getting on for anchors and squids, which is what you've got on your arm?
I'm rich in them.
Yeah. Can't move. I thought it was just a coincidence, but
the
now you put it out.
It's ruining my life, mate. Mm. Can we get rid of it?
I mean, just give Donald Trump, like, another 6 months in office.
Boy.
Satire. Yeah.
Boom.
I can't remember what you're talking about. So, yeah, Noel Edmonds... writes things on his arms, asks the universe for a new job, gets Deal or No Deal.
Yeah,
Deal or No Deal, possibly the worst program I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely hate it. It's another one of giving false hope to people who need to just fucking wake up and get on with their life.
Have you seen the I think it's Nigerian version of Deal or No Deal that's presented by John Fashanu?
What? Fashion who's got a job.
This was about 10 years ago, probably. John Fashanu. But the thing is, because it's all over the world, Deal or No Deal, right? And most countries, they just have like female models who open all the boxes.
Yeah, the one in America does.
And it's all like, you know, they try and introduce a bit of excitement to what is essentially opening random boxes and playing a game of guesswork. By having like glamour around it and like sexiness and all that kind of stuff. Whereas in England, it's just the people who end up playing it, just ordinary people. And the thing that makes it exciting is just Noel Edmonds being fucking weird and the whole thing having this creepy...
Really creepy vibe.
Yeah, cult-like vibe. Because do you know how they work Deal or No Deal? So there's 20 boxes.
Yeah.
And 20 people opening them. But you basically start on box number 20... next day 19, 18, 17, 16, until you get to the bottom and then you open,
right.
and then you're playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So before you play, you've got 20 episodes of being on it and opening the boxes.
God.
And they film lots of episodes in a day, but you're still like multiple days.
Yeah.
And they make them all live in a house or like a hotel together without contacting the outside world. So it is like a fucking cult because they're just like separated from the rest of the world. And they're like all living together and they're all... already a bit mad, and Noel Edmonds is sending them more mad by asking them like, what's your system for picking these random boxes, and then like having a go at them if their system isn't crazy enough if they're just like, well, it's random, I'm just gonna pick randomly. He like basically calls them wankers, and then all the other ones start like hating them because they think they're bad luck, because they're all like well into the idea of luck and stuff. So if somebody's bringing bad vibes by being like rational, all the other ones like turn on them.
Oh, I'd so do that. Yeah. I'd be the guy in the hotel who'd just be like, "Oh, smashed all my mirrors." Oh,
I read like a whole article about the way they make Deal or No Deal, and also all the contestants start getting really paranoid that the banker's like watching them all the time and like listening.
Yeah,
so if they're having
Noel
like conversations, but Noel Edmonds actually is. Yeah, the banker's just some producer somewhere who's like fine.
It wouldn't surprise me if there's like nightly seminars
with
him like giving talks.
Yeah, and trying to sell them property
shit. Pyramid scheme.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's like a pyramid scheme, or like one of those things where people sell their friends' makeup, like, and it's just a weird, cult-like. Marketing scheme. That's what Deal or No Deal is like.
I've got a spin on it for you, which I think we could market.
Right?
You put, instead of it being money in your box, it's like prized possessions, and instead of opening the box, when you pick a box, it blows up.
Yeah.
And so at the end, you've narrowed it down to you only left with one thing.
Yeah, so you got your laptop or your cat?
Yeah.
I like this idea. I would make one slight tweak, which is instead of blowing it up, I think the person should like smash it to bits with a baseball bat.
Yeah, or put a sword through it.
It's just a bit more visceral, isn't it?
Oh, that'd be good.
That would be that's the kind of thing I can actually imagine Noel Edmonds doing in his house party days. Of just like, we took everything in your house and put it all in boxes, and we're going to make you smash it all to pieces. because we've got this, you know, Saturday night family-friendly version of Saw that we're running here. All right, so we've pursued Noel's career up until the Deal or No Deal days. You gave me a statistic just before we started that blew my mind. How many episodes of Deal or No Deal has Noel Edmonds appeared in?
3,000.
3,000. That's basically 9 years of being on telly every day.
It's crazy. Like
it's not just crazy, it's upsetting.
It's too much. Yeah. It's way, way, way too much.
Yeah. And like, have you ever watched that program?
I've watched it and I've hated
it's
it.
It's fucking boring, man.
I had when it started, I had a housemate who wasn't super into it, but would always watch it, and I started to worry about him.
Yeah.
And so I just stopped being in the house that much.
Yeah, I mean, like, because I had a time when I was watching The Weakest Link quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I like me a bit of Pointless. I'll watch that. I like a tea time quiz show.
Yeah.
But it's not a quiz show at all.
You're just watching random bollocks happen.
Yeah. While Noel Edmonds spins this story about how the whole thing is like the product of fate and the universe working in mysterious ways.
Yeah. So.
And I should say, I'm not totally of the opinion that there's no such thing as fate, that the universe couldn't be working in mysterious ways. I'm not sure, but I'm not ruling it out entirely. But if it is, it's not. God isn't working through the mechanism of Deal or No Deal.
God, no. No, no. Why?
If there is something going on, Noel Edmonds is not the one who's finally fucking cracked the code.
No. No way. So going further into this, because that's now like Deal, No Deal's done now. It's over. Thank God.
Like post Deal or No Deal, Noel Edmonds is probably my favourite Noel Edmonds. That's where he starts to get interesting to me.
I really hate, because his beard's got really shit now. And it looks like it's just drawn on. And that really aggravates me. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve with him at the moment, is his shit beard.
But given that previous pet peeves include just bullying people and smashing their offices up, unleashing Mr. Blobby on the world, and creating a quasi-religion / cult and then televising the whole thing, having a shit beard, I think, is still better than his previous career.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just having a bit of a scan through what else he's done.
Yeah.
He owns 2 fucking theme parks.
Does he?
Yeah. Literally, Edmund's licensed theme parks based around Crinkly Bottom and Mr. Blobby.
Fuck that. See, I'm getting back on board. What? Can you name me any rides that are at these theme parks?
Let me have a look. No. Apparently they're not around anymore. There was a lot of misconduct by senior officials, which was dubbed Blobbygate.
I earlier just typed the words Noel Edmonds controversy into Google, and so many hits on that.
Well, I want to get to the biggest one, which was that it was quite recent about him saying that you can cure cancer with positive thought, and everybody who had cancer was basically just miserable.
Yeah, that's...
Which is the biggest... Well, one of the biggest wankerist things anyone's ever said.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? It's up there with Glenn Hoddle saying that disabled people must have been sinners in their past lives.
Yes. I mean, he just needs a good... Well, he needs more than a slap.
It's all right, though. He did delete the tweet.
Oh, thank God.
And Philip Schofield was on the case. Philip Schofield.
Honestly, our knight in shining armour.
You know what? One of these days I'm going to review... Can we have another side review? Like we had Mr. Blobby. Can we have a quick side review of Philip Schofield?
Yeah, post-go.
I fucking love Philip Schofield. I've always loved Philip Schofield. He's great. He's up there with Matt off of The One Show in terms of my favourite TV presenters.
See, there's people like that I don't trust because they're too nice. They've got a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
Whereas Noel Edmonds wears his agenda written on his arm.
Quite literally, yeah.
I've found another quote here. TV star Dom Jolly says Noel Edmonds is mad as cheese.
You know what? Side review for Dom Jolly, that guy can fuck off. But, you know, also Noel Edmonds clearly is mad.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was that. There's been loads of other claims that he had a little box that could reverse the aging process.
Fuck, that's good. What if he does?
He said he was going to sell it for like $2,000 as well.
What do you think the secret of Noel Edmonds' success is? Because he has been a very successful TV presenter, broadcaster, over decades. do you think the and often with formats of programs which are like quite shit, and also he's got like, I would say, negative personal charm.
Yeah.
As in, seeing him is just really upsetting and makes you want to immediately stop seeing him. And yet he's had this successful career.
He's got some on somebody. He's got some dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he's...
Either
he's,
that or it's the...
Because he was like... He was right there. BBC.
Yeah.
Like 80s.
Yeah.
When he's BBC been... was the bad British... The bad broadcasting company.
He's been... He's basically been to way too many cocaine parties.
Yeah.
And he's got shit on people.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Or it's another Jimmy Savile thing where he's done things so bad...
That nobody would believe it.
Yeah.
But you would.
He just feels like God.
Or it's magic. Like he's actually magic and he knows the secret to the universe.
Oh, he's just got this all written on his arm. Yeah. Does he wash it off, though? Do you have to keep it on your arm?
Well, you just write new things on the next day, right? Because one day you wake up, you're like, I want a bacon sandwich. So you write bacon sandwich on your arm. Next day you wake up, I want an egg sandwich. You have to write egg sandwich on your arm.
But if you wash it off and it's not happened, is that it? You're gone, well...
I don't think that's ever happened to Noel Edmonds. I think it has always happened.
Oh, yeah, because he said he wanted a helicopter. And he got a helicopter because he wrote helicopter. I don't... But do you want if he draws a helicopter?
But do you think he just wrote helicopter on his arm and then went out and bought a helicopter?
Probably, yeah.
Because that feels like cheating.
Yeah, because I don't think... He woke up one morning and he's like, what's that on my drive?
I suspect this magical technique probably works at its best if you're already... You know, quite rich.
I mean, yeah,
And powerful.
You could game it and just basically write on your arm, "I want it to be day." You write that at night, you know, or some shit like that.
Do you think he's got a personal assistant whose job is to just like every morning get a quick look at his arm and be like, oh, "Okay, Mr. Edmonds wants a helicopter today."
Yeah, every morning they have to check. Right, what's on the
agenda?
Yeah,
what's the agenda? Yeah. One thing I did want to touch on is my favourite of Noel Edmonds' post-Deal or No Deal career moves.
Go on.
Which is the radio station he launched.
Oh, yes.
For pets.
Yes.
So not about pets for humans, but literally for pets to listen to. And he went on the Jeremy Vine show to discuss this. And there is an amazing clip on YouTube of... Jeremy Vine asked people to ring up and put their pets on the line, and Noel Edmonds would like talk to them and soothe them. And so it's Noel Edmonds talking to a cat on the Jeremy Vine show, and like you can't even hear the cat's not even meowing, and Noel Edmonds is just saying like just a load of weird fucking shit to this cat. It's so strange. I'm going to put a little clip of it right here, right, so that you know what I'm talking about, because it's the best.
So you're through to Dana now. She's listening.
Okay, well, firstly, obviously, well done to the people that rescued her. What I'm going to do, this will please her enormously. This is the sound of a very happy cat purring. Dana, don't be frightened. You're in the BBC, but don't worry. It's possible to escape. And trust me, there is life outside the BBC. What a lovely name you have, Dana. In addition... That wonderful Irish girl, Dana, who won the Eurovision Song Contest. I hope this is working. There's another very famous Dana, Queen Latifah, the rapper, singer, and film actress who received a Grammy for her role in Chicago. Her real name is Dana, just like yours, Dana. It's Dana Owens. And you'll like this. Her star sign is Pisces. Fish, Dana. Fish. You like fish, don't you? I send you love. I send you positivity, and I send you constructive energy from Jeremy and myself. Now, have a happy life.
All right, let me just see if we can get some response. She heard every word, Noel. Dana, that was Noel Edmonds. That was Noel Edmonds.
Oh.
I tried to Google the fate of this radio station. You clued me into Noel Edmonds' website.
Yes, Noel.world.
Noel.world. Oh, like... It's like the millennium. We're all just living in the Noel.world.
We are, yeah.
Just like we are still living in the millennium. And unfortunately, you can go to the URL noel.world/phone-a-pet. which was another service he was offering, which was Noel Edmonds would phone your pet for you and just chill them out.
Yeah.
If they were stressing out. Unfortunately, if you go there, you just see the same thing you see when you go to any part of Noel Edmonds' website, which is a close up on a young woman meditating in front of an ocean. And the text simply reads, Noel Edmonds, taking a break, Noel.world.
I think it's best that he does.
Yeah, for all our sakes.
Yeah. So, Noel Edmonds then.
Yeah.
I think, culminating everything that's been said, and as I am known to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be 2 out of 10.
Do you not have like a certain grudging respect for the amount, the success he's had in flinging his weird bullshit all over every aspect of British society?
No, because I can see him getting into politics soon and trying to do something bananas like that.
Yeah.
And the current state of things are going.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's dark, dark, dark.
I feel
time.
Like, we were talking earlier about what the secret of Noel Edmonds' success is. And I feel like it, in some ways it's just a sad indictment of human nature that we created this monster, us, the British public, because we lap up that shit. He's putting all this horrible shit out into the world, and we were watching it in our millions.
Yeah.
We created that monster and inflicted it upon ourselves. And if he runs for fucking to be an MP or whatever,
he'll be
successful
because
we're all arseholes.
Yeah.
You're not me and you. You're all arseholes. You guys who are listening to this. You're going to do it to yourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what really hurts. So 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
Any more final thoughts?
Fuck Noel Edmonds.
Fuck Noel Edmonds. All right, let's have some music. In the middle of the podcast where we used to have adverts, and we don't have adverts anymore.
No, best decision ever.
And then last week we had some feedback, so I'd want to launch the first of my new segments this week, which is feedback from my mum.
Yep. Well, we're gonna do feedback from our mums.
From our mum. Have you had any feedback from your mum?
I'll leave that.
3 points from my mum.
Yep.
Firstly, she asked both of us individually. Or suggested that we should review The Carrot Sharpener.
Yes.
I think we both had the same reaction to that suggestion.
What is a carrot sharpener?
What the hell is a carrot sharpener? And quite obviously, it's a device that sharpens your carrots.
Well, that's what I got chastised for saying that. basically going, who would want a sharp carrot?
Well, I think that the point is the sharp carrot is a kind of byproduct.
Yes.
What you're really hoping to get out of it is the shaving of carrot.
Pretty flowery pencil shaving.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, I'm pretty sure we've already reviewed spiralizers.
Yes, we have.
And I feel like the carrot sharpener is kind of just an offshoot of the spiralizer, really.
Yes.
You're just getting a slightly wider.
You're getting a more specific spiralizer.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could put something else in it.
Banana?
Yeah, and the whole world would go mad.
Yeah.
For some reason, I wanted to say, like, a runner bean, and that's a terrible idea.
No, a runner bean wouldn't do it. Chorizo, maybe?
Ooh.
Chorizo would be good.
Flowery pepperami.
Yeah. Yeah, origami pepperami.
There you go.
That could be quite nice.
Martin, shout out, we're here.
Yes, the pepperami company, if you want to give us free pepperamis. Actually, don't do that, because I would eat a lot of pepperamis if I had them on tap.
I would.
And that would be very bad for me in lots of ways.
I used to do something terrible. Yeah. I used to slice them up into like little circles and put them on pizza.
That's not great.
It wasn't a great time. I'd just buy like a margarita pizza and put that on it.
That's bad. I still to this day sometimes just make instant noodles and slice up hot dogs and put them in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fine, isn't it?
I've seen that happen, yeah. We'll leave that there.
That's just lunch. All right, second point from my mum. So we talked about gentrification.
Yes.
Last week, and she's basically got two burns.
Of course. Well,
I don't know if they were intended to be burns.
I'm shocked it's only two.
The first one is a burn against you, basically. Second one is a burn against both of us. So firstly, she said to me, I was born and brought up in the part of Southeast London, so I can't possibly have been gentrifying the area. Because I'm actually a local, I can't have gentrified the area. So by implication, you're the arsehole who's coming in and gentrifying the area.
Yeah, but she's still buying the nice stuff.
That's true.
She's not going Starburger.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I'm still driving the trends that are changing the character of the area. But anyway, second burn against both of us is that we didn't give enough consideration to the possibility that rather than gentrifying the area, we're actually bringing down the tone of the neighbourhood, which I think is a very fair point.
Well, I know, I'd say it's the mums in the area that are doing that.
Yeah.
I went to the pub the other day, full of kids. That's not what pubs are for. Get out.
Yeah, but the thing is, those are the people... Mums, young mums, the kind of young mums who take their prams to the pub,
yep,
are the same ones who are spending money in all the shops on shops that don't sell real things.
Yeah, Oliver Bonas.
Yeah.
What is that shop?
There's like a white shop that just sells things that are white. And not like fridges and stuff, but just like plates and cards and stuff.
Ugh.
And yeah, it's the mums with prams who are buying stuff there, not the likes of you or I. I've bought something at Oliver Bonas. You know what about Oliver Bonas? If you ever need a present for a girlfriend
or Mother's Day.
Or, yeah, a woman in your life.
Perfect.
Go Mother's Oliver Day Bonas. Shop. Kind of just get anything that's in your price range. It won't be too bad.
Oliver Bonas should really step up their marketing spend.
They should market...
The few days before Mother's Day.
They should market to men like us.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a bind, if you need to get a present for someone and you don't know enough about them or you've left it too late, go Oliver Bonas, get anything.
I've spent way too much on Oliver Bonas sometimes because I've picked some up, didn't know the price.
Yeah.
Fuck that with 30 quid.
Shit, we have actually just done an advertising segment, and it wasn't even like a comedy one. It was just a genuine endorsement of a product.
Right, quick, stop, move on.
All
right,
so next segment I'd like to introduce.
Oh, review from my mum.
Oh yeah, review from your mum.
It'll never happen. She'll never know about this podcast. I'll never let her know about it.
Yeah, I am mildly... concerned at the fact that not only is my mum now listening to this podcast, I'm pretty sure my father-in-law is as well. But having said that, this is not amongst the most...
this is by far...
unsavoury material I've put out into the world.
Yes.
So, you know.
This is quite tepid compared to the other stuff.
Yeah. I'm just living my life, innit? Just doing me. Alright, my second new segment... We'll see if this one lasts more than 1 week. To go with Males' Controversial Corner, I think I'm going to call it Raph's Got Something to Say.
Right. I've got something to tell ya, something to
tell ya. You might not like now. And it's just something I want to get off my chest.
Go for it.
You know when you go to a restaurant?
Yeah.
And you get the bill?
Yeah.
And you're paying with a debit card?
Yeah.
I've been out to restaurants a few times this week. It's been my wife's birthday.
Right.
Fuck, what really pisses me off, they bring you the bill, bring out your debit card, they just walk off for like another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Bring the card reader with the bill, everyone's paying on their cards.
Yeah.
Just bring, why are you making me sit there for 5 minutes? I've already sat there for 5 minutes trying to get your attention to bring me the bill. Why are you pissing off for 5 minutes when all
why?
I'm doing is bringing a card out of my wallet? I'm not like, if you're going to like give me a second to read through it or whatever and make sure it's all correct, some people want to do that, that's fine. I need about 30 seconds for that. Just like, keep an eye on me, come back, don't make me wait for 5 minutes like a chump. I've got something to tell ya, something to
tell ya. You might not like now. Ideally, I want to pay before I've eaten. I want to pay, order the food, arrive, it's there. I eat it and I'll leave.
That takes us very nicely onto our next segment, which is going to be my review. So let's have some music and we'll come back with my review. Because have I got a solution for your needs?
Suffer for me, yeah. make you no cry again.
All right, then. We're back. We left you with a tantalizing hook. You were suggesting that you wanted to go to a place, pay money up front, have food ready for you to eat. You sit down, you eat it, you leave.
Yeah, dream.
That dream, you can make that dream a reality right now.
Go on.
With a new kind of restaurant service experience that goes by the name of McDonald's.
Oh.
It's called the quick serve method of restaurant, genre of restaurant.
Yeah.
And because you get served very quickly.
Speedy cuisine.
Speedy cuisine, yeah. You go up there, you order your food.
Yeah. Rapid munch.
Yeah. And then within, a minute at most, they give you a hot tray full of food or paper bag full of food. And you can either just...
yeah, they did the one in the fucking paper bag.
Yeah. You can sit down and eat it at a table. You can... Sometimes they've got standing up bits where you just sort of stand.
Yeah.
There's like a high shelf, so you don't even need to slow yourself down enough to sit. Or you can just take it in your paper bag and eat it as you're walking down the road.
I like how all the furniture within a McDonald's is specifically designed and created in a way that ketchup can't ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all wiped clean.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, just...
literally nothing is penetrating that surface.
Yeah. A lot of life gets lived in McDonald's. I wouldn't be surprised if all kinds of things gets wiped off of those wiped clean surfaces.
I imagine there's been births, there's been deaths, there's been marriages, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where to start with my review of McDonald's, but I was in a McDonald's 2 days ago, Tuesday or Thursday, anyway, 2 or 3 days ago, and this is not even really related to the review, but I saw a new thing, which was they had a seating area.
Yeah.
That was just like a load of boxes sort of piled on top of each other in an irregular way. Like you might get at a playground or something where you could kind of sit on different levels. The kind of place where you might have in a student foyer of a student union.
Yeah.
Like a kind of fun, funky seating solution. It isn't actually chairs, isn't actually tables.
It's just an inconvenience.
It was really weird. There was nowhere to like actually put down your food and eat off of. I wasn't so into that.
Which McDonald's was this?
This was on Holborn.
Right.
Up in town. Also, in McDonald's now, there's little screens.
They have screens where you can place your order and not talk to anyone.
Yeah. Now that is good.
Where was I? I was Tottenham Court Road.
They're going all over the place now. And yeah, you just like tap in your order. You get a number. You don't have to talk to anyone.
No.
And then someone just hands you your paper bag full of food.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the best things about McDonald's. And there are a lot of things that I really like about McDonald's. This is going to be a highly positive review. Because basically, I'm of the opinion that McDonald's is basically a perfect thing.
Okay. I don't think I would go as far as to say that, but...
I mean, like, I've said before in this podcast, ketchup is my favourite condiment. Ready salted crisps are my favourite crisps. Vanilla ice cream is my favourite ice cream.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you just get something right and there's a reason it's the de facto standard is because it couldn't be improved upon.
It's
the perfect expression of what it's trying to do.
It's the most well known, it's the most easily recognised.
Yeah.
It's the barometer.
And also, all of their food is delicious.
Filet-O-Fish?
Okay, most of their food is delicious. I've never had a McDonald's salad. I bet you can get a better salad out there.
There used to be a girl at school who ate Filet-O-Fish. No one talked to her because of it. She was once seen eating a Filet-O-Fish and people stopped talking to her.
Just ostracised for you. Yeah, I think if you're not like Hindu, you got no business eating a Filet-O-Fish.
No.
Filet-O-Fish. You know what? This is how little it's... I don't think I've ever seen one.
No, I can't tell you what it looked like.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know what it is.
All I imagine is it's grotesque.
What kind of fish is it?
Who knows?
Nobody knows. It's probably like krill. Just squeezed together into like a cake. Okay, so let's go back a bit. In your youth, were you a McDonald's kid? It was all I ever wanted, but I basically never got to have it, which might be why I went so mad for it in my adult life.
Oh, I used to get it a lot, but basically on a Saturday morning, I get dropped off at my grandma's because my mum and dad both work Saturdays. and she'd be like, "Oh, what do you want for dinner? McDonald's." Like, never, it was never anything else. And being like such a lovely, amazing person, she'd be like, "All right then."
Yeah.
And we'd go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I'd always get a wicked happy meal and just be like, "Yeah,
yeah,
I'm so happy."
See, I never, like, the only times I got McDonald's when I was a kid was if I was, if a friend's mum and dad were looking after us, like if we were going to a birthday party,
yes,
or like going, like, some, you know, going around to friends for the day and they were like looking after us. And then they sometimes got, I remember once I can't remember what my mum and dad were doing, but they were away for the night. So we stayed with my brother's friend and like his yeah, mum and dad. And in the morning, they were taking us to school. They stopped off on the way and got us a McDonald's breakfast on the way to school. It blew my mind. I didn't even know you could get a McDonald's breakfast at that point.
Yeah, McDonald's breakfast, I've never really gotten
bored. It's not great. The hash browns are very good.
Hash browns are great, but it's that circular egg.
Yeah, circular egg's a bit weird.
And the sausage is not nice.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in McDonald's, I was reading the paperwork the other day. And they advertise the fact now that all of their eggs, they say all their breakfast items are made with a freshly cracked egg, which implies that before they're making a big deal about that because for a long time they were just making tubes of egg,
yeah,
and cutting you off a slice.
Seeing a tube of egg is the most disturbing
thing.
A
long egg.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah, it is. But there's something kind of cool about it, but not in a I want to eat that kind of way.
But you can tell that wasn't birthed. That's been made in a lab.
Yeah, like, I'm almost miss old school McDonald's, because old school, like, early 90s McDonald's was raw, was rugged. Like, before they had all that bad publicity and had to change things, where it was like, we market aggressively at children. There's a reason, like, kids fucking love McDonald's. It's because the adverts were all over telly. They had computer games.
They
had a whole suite of cartoon characters. Was there actually a cartoon? There must have been a cartoon program, Ronald and Friends or something.
I think there was.
It was like the Hamburglar and Grimace,
you know,
and all those
Grimace
guys.
Grimace was my absolute. What was your favorite?
Probably the Hamburglar. I've always had a soft spot for a bad boy.
I loved Grimace because it didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
It just described how I felt.
Yeah. Grimace was like cross between Zig and Zag and Stop It and Tidy Up.
Oh, see, this is just all the things I loved. That was a game I used to have on the Master System called Global Gladiators, put out by McDonald's, right? And you know, like in your Mario's, your Sonics, you get coins.
Yeah.
No, you got tiny little McDonald's M's spinning and like got picked up fries and all shit like this.
And this was at the same time they were advertising at children, was the same time they were like at their weirdest in terms of making all of their food out of just like slurry hosed off of bones.
Yes.
Like the sweepings of an abattoir floor, just turn it all into like a pink goo, form it into a shape,
into
and then call it a McNugget.
Did you know, I saw a thing, there are, I think it's 4 or 5 shapes of nuggets, and that's it. Because
they're
all, like, knocked out of a stencil
and
a big line.
That makes perfect sense, actually. But, like, nuggets these days, like, it's identifiably chicken in there. I'm not saying it's great chicken, and they still obviously use all kinds of industrialised process, which are harshing up the animals, all of that. But back in the day, it was just, like, bones and dirt. It was bad.
McRib, though. I used to go nuts for McRib, and you know there's nothing good in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's barely got an oink in it. Barely got a tail.
Oh, that's... Oh, so
but, like,
dreams.
That's what I quite like about them, is that McDonald's food is weird, and it's not quite like food, really. It's like its own special category.
I mean, you could eat McDonald's in the evening, but I would not say I'd have my tea. I'd still be like, no, I need to get something, like...
Yeah.
I always feel a bit weird if I've like been out doing something and I'm like, oh, I'll just quickly grab like a cheeseburger from McDonald's while eating something. And I feel like I still don't feel right.
Yeah, like going to McDonald's for food is like going to the casino in Las Vegas that looks like Venice.
Yes. Yes.
Like it's close. It's got all the appearance of being like in an actual place doing a real thing. But it just kind of isn't. It's just the Legoland version of the real world.
Yeah.
But it's a very particular thing that nothing else quite manages to nail. And like, and I like what they do. It's not quite the same thing I get out of eating real food, but it's a different thing that I'm well into. Like, I think a McDonald's cheeseburger, just a straight up cheeseburger, is a perfect burger.
So, to expand, what's the best thing you've ever had at McDonald's, and what's your go-to in a hurry grabbing something from McDonald's order?
My go-to is a quarter pounder with cheese meal.
Okay.
If I'm feeling like I want a feast, I'll get a quarter pounder with cheese meals and 6 nuggets. Although, pro tip, if you're going for that, get the nuggets meal and then get a quarter pounder with cheese by itself, because it works out about 10p cheaper if you do it that way than the other way around. Best thing I've ever had at a McDonald's is a difficult one. I mean, it's probably just a quarter pounder with cheese. Like, if, all right. Especially if you need it. If you've, like, had a really heavy weekend.
Yeah.
And you've dragged yourself into work on Monday and you're not feeling... Like, this used to be a semi-regular occasion when I was living in Leeds and working a shitty office job that I didn't like. I would go into work on Monday, I'd hate my job, I'd still be a bit hungover from the weekend, and then at lunchtime I would go to McDonald's and get a quarter pounder with cheese meal, and like, real food wouldn't have done it for me. Real food, I would have been like,
no, yeah,
I'm forcing myself to eat this, I'm not really that into it. But like, for a hangover meal, like, it's like medicine. McDonald's food is like medicine. It's like, here's some salt, some grease, some bit of sugar, everything you need to just like, you could liquidize it, put it in a drip, and feed it to like critically ill people straight into their veins, and it'll do them all right.
Not so sure about that one, but
that's my proposal, my radical proposal to shake up the NHS.
Do you remember that thing that they used to say? Well, I really took it on board, this rumor anyway, that if you had a Big Mac, you couldn't be sick because of all the...
I've never heard that one.
It was something to do with all the chemicals in it.
Yeah.
Like, prevented you from vomiting it up, and that was like McDonald's. They'd done that so you couldn't have the negative experience of being sick and having a McDonald's.
I mean, it's plausible, isn't it?
And I believe this so much that what I used to do is if I get trashed on a night out, I'm going to eat a Big Mac, then I won't be sick.
Yeah.
And perfect. Then one time perfect it did logic. Work.
Yeah. But I think of all the times it did work, though.
Yeah, then that was the reason why.
Yeah. Oh, drunk McDonald's is a good time. Also, a foreign McDonald's. Like, if you're...
There's some... You always see that on BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Look at these weird things around that lobster fucking burger and all that shit.
Yeah. And there's two positive foreign McDonald's experiences you can have. One is you can, just for the novelty, think like, I wonder what French McDonald's is like. Oh,
Le Big Mac.
Yeah. Or, you know, you go to like, if you're far away. Like, if you're in America, obviously they've got crazy shit.
That,
or if
that
you're in Japan,
say,
they've got crazy stuff.
I think the America is the pinnacle. Because they not only go, do you want it large? Do you want it super large? Do you want it that's going to swallow you whole?
Yeah. And it's already, like, a bit bigger, I think. But the other really positive foreign McDonald's experience is if you've been, like, on it, like, traveling for a while... And you're just sick of, like, everything being weird.
Yeah.
And you just want, like, just give me something. Like, I've been on this train for, like, 14 hours and now I'm in, like, Bratislava.
I want some normality.
I want the text to be in English and I want to know exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, have to work. I don't want it to be foreign anymore. I want, like, just a taste of home. It'll sort you right out. So, and that universality. I haven't even touched on, like, McDonald's as a global phenomenon. Pushing capitalism and freedom around the world. Like, that's its own story to tell about the juggernaut that is McDonald's as a metaphor for Western imperialism and capitalism. I can't even start to get into that. So just in terms of my personal experiences with McDonald's, I've never had a bad one.
Okay.
Have you ever had anything from McDonald's that you haven't liked?
Yeah, the breakfast stuff.
Yeah.
I've been...
It's not... Yeah, the breakfast stuff...
And you're just like...
I won't go to bat for the breakfast stuff. No, like,
yeah.
Hash browns are nice, the rest of it.
But no, you are right. You go... You know he's going to be off a standard.
Yeah.
And you know... Yeah, you know what you're getting. It's security.
Yeah. And that... What you get... Like I said, it might not be your thing. It is my thing. It's perfectly executed. Like... Oh man, I just want to take a quick... Well, I want to wrap this up in a second, but... I just want to take a second to slate off Burger King for being terrible. Burger King, you need to sort this. I've only ever had one nice burger from Burger King, and it was like a novelty burger that they only had in for like a month, and then as soon as they got rid of that, burgers
are just
big shit.
Yeah, Burger King burgers are just a bit too much.
Yeah, they're big and they're dry.
They're like trying too hard. Saying that though,
and loads of them don't have cheese on them.
McDonald's have been doing that with the menu. Like, I was in one, must have been over like 2 weeks ago. It's not a regular thing for me. But yeah, then you see it's like all like, oh, the French rustic burger with artisanal bollocks. It's
I never go.
I get two cheeseburgers, then I bounce.
Yeah. I never go for any of that like novelty stuff. Just get a quarter pounder with cheese. It's exactly what you want. Or get a double cheeseburger if you're on the go. I get a double cheeseburger. Just eat it walking down the road. It's great. So all right, my review for McDonald's. 10 out of 10. It's perfect.
10 out of 10.
It's perfect to what it does.
Shit. All right.
And now I'm back on my positive tip and I'm well into it. All right, we'll take a quick break, then we're going to come back with the lightning round.
Hi,
welcome
to McDonald's. Can I help you?
I have a little complicated order.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. I want a number 6 super size with a Sprite and large fries. Mustard, ketchup only, please. But don't you forget the cheese. I got a sweet tooth, but I'm in a hurry. Can I get one Big McFlurry? Give me one of them sprinkled with some M&M's. I'm feeling them. Excuse me, ma'am, but baby, can you tell me, did you get that? Was it too fast? Cause I don't wanna have to come back. No, to the drive-thru, to the drive-thru. Can you hear me? Am I coming in clearly? Cause if it's Mickey D's, then please, I'm grabbing it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Did you get that?
Yes, you wanted the number 6 super size with only mustard and ketchup with a large fry and an M&M
McFlurry. Yeah.
All right, then. We are back with the lightning round. This is the round where we go backwards and forwards very quickly with the kind of natural repartee and,
je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi of a young Anton Deck.
Oh.
Throwing each other things to review very quickly, without thinking about it too much. Do you want to go first or second?
Courgettes.
Oh, I'll give them a 9 out of 10. Very good vegetable, very versatile. Can cook away to nothing if you cook them too long.
Okay.
Adult scooters.
2 out of 10. They're a menace.
They are a menace. And they always ride them on the pavement like fucking lunatics.
Yep. Discman.
Oh, I mean, 7 out of 10. I had a Discman for years, for way longer than I should have had one. And I used to really enjoy making CDs to walk around with. But they were a bit shit and they jogged quite a lot.
Yeah.
And they were big.
Yeah.
So, like, I know they were a bit shit, but I've got some nostalgia for it. 7 out of 10. Japan. The country of Japan.
I'm going to give it 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's only losing one because I've never been. And it's too far away for me to get to easily. But it's the future.
Yeah.
It just looks wicked.
Yeah.
They've got the best of both worlds because they've got that super futuristic side and then they've got all that crazy history and they both try and mash them all together.
Yeah. You're just docking one point. Could be a bit closer.
Yeah.
Next time in Japan, just a little bit closer. Please.
We touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
Mr. Blobby.
See, I'm of a different opinion than you. There's something primal about Mr. Blobby that I'm quite in tune with. So I'm going to go 8 out of 10, I think.
Okay.
For you, I know we said we weren't going to do it, but controversially, bringing it back, carrot sharpener.
3 out of 10, too niche.
Too niche,
only
yeah.
Only fits a specific type of carrot.
Yeah.
It's judgmental against carrots. It's racist against carrots.
Yeah.
It's xenophobic against carrots.
Yeah.
It's
quite violent against carrots.
A knobbly carrot. We need to bring back the knobbly carrot.
Yeah.
The knobbly carrot will rise again.
Yeah, and the carrot sharpener will be first against the...
Carrot fascists.
The wall. Yeah, all right. Have you got one more for me or are we done?
That was it, mate.
All right, lightning round. That was exciting, wasn't it? Is there anything we should say at the end? If you want to get in touch with us, how would you go about doing that?
You could join the many others out there that are emailing us at raffandmails@gmail.com, which is RAFANDMALES.
Yeah.
Same for Twitter, same for Facebook.
I mean, we do read all your emails. We don't have time to read them all out on the podcast, but we do read everyone.
Read
and they really
all your
do,
emails, all your tweets.
They really do mean a lot to us, so keep sending them in.
Yeah. And please, if you wouldn't mind, leave a review on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please do leave a review on iTunes. Or even in real life, just tell a friend. I've increasingly actually been talking to people who've mentioned that they've told somebody they work with or that... You know, we are actually very slowly building our numbers here, and like the word is going around a little bit. So that's very nice, and that's really helpful. So if you like the podcast and you know somebody else who likes podcasts, maybe suggest this one. They might like this one.
Yeah, it's been quite nice telling the people about how the podcast is going, and then responding with, "What are you on about? Do you have a podcast?"
Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah, get a lot of that. But you know, maybe if we hit 200 downloads for one episode, we could invest in some kind of microphone recording setup that doesn't sound quite shitty.
I'll go with that. Yeah. We also need to find a way so we can be mobile and do our outdoor podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I really want to do that. We've got some plans in place for special episodes, but I think now that it's summer, we could take this setup on the road that we've got right now.
If we you say 200,
yeah.
If we get 250,
yeah.
I say we do a podcast on a boat.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, definitely. 200 will get a slightly better. We'll figure out how to make this sound slightly nicer.
250, we'll figure out how to waterproof it.
Yeah. but yeah, I think we could take this show on the road. We can take this out to the woods and have a fire. Late night fire.
Old school road show.
Yeah.
Wicked. Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and come back in 2 weeks' time where we will review some more bits of the world.
Bye.